Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am beginning to wind down our teaching that I've been doing now. This is my sixth week of teaching on The War Is Over. And we're coming to a conclusion of this. And basically I've been teaching about how that God loves us completely separate from anything that we deserve. It's not based on our actions. God placed all of our punishment and our sin upon Jesus. And now any person who accepts Jesus is in right relationship with God, regardless of what their actions are. And that's nearly too good to be true news. The end of all of God's anger towards us over our sin is over. The Old Testament punished sin severely. In the New Testament, Jesus was punished for our sin. And as I teach those things, immediately people begin to start saying, but wait a minute, what about your actions? You've got to do this, this, and this. And I've been trying to make this point this week that religion, and when I'm talking about religion, I'm not talking about true Christianity. I'm talking about imitation Christianity. Any other way of approaching God that is inconsistent with what the Bible teaches is what I'm calling religion, whether it's got the name Christian on it or not. Religion today is basically saying that if you will just do what's right and live up to this standard, then God will accept you. And that is wrong, wrong, wrong. Everyone has to have a Savior, and we are accepted with God independent of what we do based on whether or not Jesus is our Lord, whether we have made a personal commitment to Him and have received salvation through Jesus. That's the only factor. It all boils down to if you put faith in Jesus. It's not based on your actions. And again, religion gets very upset over this because they say, so you're just saying our actions aren't important. Sure, our actions are important. They have consequences, but our relationship with God isn't based on our actions. It's based on whether or not we have a personal relationship with God. And then, if you truly have a relationship with God, your actions will change as a fruit, as a byproduct of relationship with God, not a way to relationship with God. Major, major difference. I was using these verses out of 1 John chapter 2, and I quit last time with 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and it says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. The way religion has interpreted this is to say, well, man, you want to know Him, so what do you have to do? Keep His commandments. And if you will keep the commandments, then you will know Him. That is not what 1 John 2, 3 says. And as I explained before, this is what I call spiritual dyslexia, where you see things backwards. People have said, see, that hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And they say, well, I want to know Him, so what have I got to do? Keep His commandments. That'll cause me to know Him. Nope, that's the opposite. That's backwards. This verse is saying that knowing God will cause you to keep the commandments. And if a person comes along proclaiming that, oh, I know God, well, you know, you have to evaluate, is this person sincere or insincere? Are they deceived? Or are they in reality representing God? Well, you can tell by looking at their life. Now, there isn't a perfect parallel here because all of us fail and come short of whatever standard that we have. You know, it's my goal to love and bless people and to be a blessing to people, and I do that better than I've done it in the past. I'm moving in the right direction, but I can't say that I treat every single person the way that I should. I don't do that. There's times that I get caught up in myself and things like that. And so I believe that every one of us fail to be perfect. That's what fallen human beings do. But you know what? If a person can fail and maybe not be perfect in things, but you can look at a person's life and overall, you can basically summarize evaluate where their relationship with God is by their actions. Their actions do not cause God to love them. But if they have experienced God's love, I guarantee you it will be reflected in their actions. And a person who is going out, and I mean they are a whoremonger, they are a liar, they are a thief, they will murder, they will kill, they will stab in the back, they will do anything. They are expressing their true nature through those actions, and they show that they are a child of the devil and not a child of God. You know, I'm not going to mention any names here, but we've just come through a political season. And, you know, in the process of endorsing candidates and things like this, there have been the reverend this and the reverend that who have thrown their hats in and have endorsed certain candidates. And to some people, that carries weight. But, you know, as I look at their actions, as they're at their belief systems, I don't care if they've got the right reverend, most honorable, doctor, this, whatever. If their actions are consistent with the devil and not consistent with God, then they may be a reverend in somebody's eyes, but not in mine. And I know that there's some people that take offense at this. But I tell you what, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it swims like a duck, chances are it's a duck. Amen. If they act like the devil, if they talk like the devil, if they reflect the devil in everything they do, the chances are that I don't care if they claim to be a preacher or not, they don't know God. That's what these verses are saying. It says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Keeping His commandments doesn't cause us to know Him, but knowing Him causes us to keep His commandments. And in verse 4 it says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in us. Those who have this condition of spiritual dyslexia, where they see things backwards, where they've been contaminated with this disease through religion, they will see a verse like this and they'll say, well, man, I don't want to be a liar. And so what do I have to do? I have to keep His commandments. So I'm going to start doing these things, and that will keep me from being a liar, and that will cause me to know Him. No, that's not what this is saying. That's dyslexic. That's backwards. What this is saying is that you can tell the people that truly know God by the way that they live. If you truly know God, then you will keep His commandments. And if you say that you know God, but if you aren't keeping His commandments, well, then you're a liar, and the truth isn't in you. You know, again, I say that Mark chapter 7, verse 13, traditions and doctrines of men make the word of God of none effect. This is so hard for some people to grab hold of because they've been raised in a system that has said these things so many times over and over and over. After a while, it's just like we've been programmed with this. You know, have you ever seen these geometric patterns, a picture hanging on a wall, and if you look at it, it's got just this, you know, pattern there. But if you will stare at it, all of a sudden this three-dimensional image pops out of a bird or of a dinosaur. I've seen some of those. And at first you can't see it. But if you stare at it, all of a sudden you can see this three-dimensional image. And then once you've seen it, you can always go back and see it again. But until you see, I've actually looked at one of these pictures before, and my wife saying, I don't see a bird. I don't see a dinosaur. And I mean, she was staring at, I was looking at the exact same thing she was looking at, and she couldn't see it, and I could. Did you know that there are some people that with these verses, they just can't see what I'm saying. And yet they're reading this and they're saying, no, this is saying that if you want to really know God, you got to keep His commandments. That is not what this is saying. This is saying that knowing God will cause you to keep the commandments. It's exactly opposite. In verse 5, it says, but whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Somebody reads this, it has spiritual dyslexia, and they say, well, man, I want to know Him, so what do I have to do? I have to keep His word. And then I'll know that I know Him. No, knowing God will cause you to keep His word. And if you aren't keeping the word of God, now again, I'm saying that all of us fail and don't do things perfectly, but if there isn't a change in your life, if there is no evidence, if you were arrested for being a Christian, and if there was no evidence to convict you, then you know what? You don't know God. You can sit there and profess that you do. You can go to church or mass or whatever. You can have somebody absolve you of your sins. You can confess. You can do whatever. And you can go through whatever religious, calisthenics that you want to go through. But I'm telling you that if there isn't any change in your life, then you're deceived and you're deceiving yourself to think that you have a true relationship with God. Praise God. You know, some people think, man, what you're saying right now is totally contrary to everything you've been preaching the last 5 weeks about the war is over. And now you're saying, I got to start doing all of these things. No, I am not saying that you've got to start doing these things to have a relationship with God. I'm saying relationship with God is totally free. All of the effort was put in by Jesus. He bore your sins. He now offers you relationship with God as a free gift. All you have to do is just make Him your Lord. Put your faith in Him that He's forgiven your sins, and that's how you receive relationship. But if you truly have relationship with God, there is going to be a change in your life as a byproduct of that relationship. I am not saying that now you've got to start living holy and doing these things. What I'm saying is totally consistent with what I've been preaching the last 5 weeks. I am now emphasizing your actions, but I am trying to underscore this and say it every way that I can, that actions still count, but they are the byproduct of relationship with God, not the way to obtain relationship with God. And this is so important. When you have somebody coming and representing God and saying, this is the way it should be, you need to examine their life. You know, over in the book of Hebrews, let me turn over and just, I'm going to come back here to 1 John chapter 2, but in Hebrews chapter 13, let me read a few verses to you here. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 7, it says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know, the word conversation today is used primarily to denote words that you speak. But in the King James, in the Old English, it was describing behavior. And so when it says, consider the end of their conversation, it was saying, look at their life, look at their actions. And when it says the end of their behavior, it means what is the fruit that is in their life? So let me go back and just read this again with that in mind. It says in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. So this is talking about religious leaders that are ministering the word of God, whose faith follow, considering, taking into account the end of their conversation. Look and see what fruit it's bearing in their life. You know, if a person is up here telling you that, oh, they represent God, and yet if they are living a life where they can't overcome sexual sins themselves, if they are stealing money from the church, if they're bitter and angry, if they can't get along with anybody, or if you were to put, you know, in to the requirements over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul was saying that if a person desires to be a bishop, he has to do these things. And it lists that he has to be sober. He has to be temperate. He has to be the husband of one wife. In other words, he needs to be able to maintain a marriage relationship. He's going to be totally ineffective leading other people in marriage. If he can't do it himself, he has to have his children in subjection. He has to have a good report of those that are without, and it lists all of these kind of things. And you know what this is saying? It's saying the same thing that Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, that consider the end of their conversation. And then the next verse says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, people often take verse 8 out of context and just make a statement that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I've done that myself, and it's not wrong to make that. But look how it fits. You know what he's saying? In verse 7, he says, pay attention to the people who are speaking the word of God to you and follow only their faith. Don't follow anything that isn't genuine. And how do you tell? Look at the end of their conversation, their behavior. Look at the fruit it's producing in their life. And then he says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here would be a modern way of interpreting that and say that if the preacher preaches this on Sunday, But then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday lives contrary to what he preaches on Sunday, then that's not Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is always the same. If there's certain people that only when they're in the pulpit are they holy, only when they're in the pulpit are they passionate. The rest of the time, man, they're out here getting drunk and they're doing things contrary. You know what? You shouldn't let the door hit you on the way out. You ought to leave so quick that that thing is never going to touch you. You ought to be gone. Anytime you find somebody who is preaching something and cannot deliver and live it in their life. You know, I've used this exact same logic when I was teaching on healing. I was trying to convince people, and I taught so many things on the subject of healing that was contrary to what the average person believes that I knew that there was resistance, and so I basically approached it this way. I said, you know what, I'm not perfect in this area. I haven't done everything exactly right, but only one time in 40 years has sickness won in my body, and that was because of stupidity. I preached 40 times the week before, and I literally exhausted myself, and I was so exhausted, I had to crawl to get in bed. And in that exhausted state, I got a sinus infection, and it lasted for 2 or 3 days. And that's the only time I've been sick in 40 years. And so I use this logic that, you know, with the exception of me just thinking that I was immortal and not realizing that I had to pace myself, and as I get older, I'm going to have to possibly cut back a little bit. With that exception, I have walked in supernatural health. Haven't taken a painkiller, haven't taken anything. I have walked supernaturally healthy, and I use that as an encouragement for people to believe that what I was teaching on the subject of healing see work, because here's the fruit of it in my life. It's not my not taking medicine and not doing these things that makes me have faith for healing. No, it's my faith for healing and faith in God that has caused me to live in a way that is, I've gotten better results than the vast majority of people who are watching my program. And see, I use that as a validation. This is what Paul was saying, or excuse me, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews was. I think it was Paul, but this is what the writer of Hebrews was saying, that when you listen to a person, those who are speaking the Word of God, consider the end of their behavior, recognizing Jesus is always the same. That's what these verses are saying. That if a person, and remember the context that I put all of this in last Monday on our program, that John was writing this towards the end of the first century. This was decades after Jesus had risen from the dead. The church had been going along. There was beginning to be heresies come in, and they were saying, thus saith the Lord. But the apostle John was writing this book to expose their false doctrine and their false errors. And part of that process of exposing them was saying that these people who are saying this, but yet they aren't keeping the commandments of the Lord about loving God, loving your neighbor, being kind, turning the other cheek, laying your life down, putting heavenly things above earthly things. Those people who weren't following the commands that Jesus gave, and yet they were proclaiming that they had a superior revelation. He says you can discount their doctrine because you can't see it in their lives. They're saying that they know God, but in works, they are proving that they don't. And that's what he's saying in these verses. In verse 6, it says, he that saith he abideth in him, talking about in Jesus, ought himself also to walk even as he walked, as Jesus. If you are saying that I'm walking with Jesus, well then, you know what? Your actions ought to be similar to what Jesus' actions were. If you are truly in fellowship with Jesus, it ought to be reflected in your walk, in your talk. And you can not only use this in discerning false teachers that come unto you, but you know what? You can use this in your own life. There are probably people watching this program right now who are saying that you are born again, saying that you're a Christian, you're saying that you have a relationship with God, and yet your life is just dominated by fear. You live a life of fear. Over in 1 John chapter 4, as a matter of fact, we're right here in that book. Let me just turn over and read this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so if you truly experience the love of God, it's going to break this dominion of fear in your life. Fear of what people have to say, fear of heights, fear of travel, fear of being left by yourself, fear of your children going bad, fear of this. And there are some people who say and are proclaiming that they're Christians, and yet there is no evidence of it in their life. Now, it's possible that religion can mess you up, but it's also possible that, you know what, you may not really possess a relationship with God. There are people who profess but don't possess relationship with God, and you can tell it by what's going on in your life. Now, again, I am not saying that you do everything perfectly, because every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I still fall short of what God wants me to do. I want to study the Word and seek God more than I do, and I've never done it as well as I could. And I've been at this, I mean, day and night for 40 years, and I still am not perfect in anything. I don't believe that you reach perfection as long as we are in this physical body. But you know what? I can truthfully say that if anybody was to come and look at my life, they would recognize the difference between the way I was before I had my encounter with God and the way I am now that I've had that. There ought to be some indication in your life. I'm sure that there are people watching this program right now who, you know what, right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to you that you have professed something that you don't possess. And you've wondered why your faith, quote unquote, in God hasn't produced any better results in your life. And it's because you're just going through the motions. It's because you claim to be something in name, but you aren't in reality. And you know what? You need to make a personal commitment and receive salvation as a gift. You need to quit trying to be good enough to please God and thereby earn relationship with God. And you need to humble yourself and just accept it as a free gift. You know, I'd like to ask you to do this right now. I know that there's many of you watching this program who are truly born again, and you have experienced God, but there's people watching this program who haven't experienced God. You just claim to be a follower of His, but there isn't any evidence of it in your life. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now about He wants to just come in and have a relationship. I'd like you to just say these words with me. It's not magic. If you repeat these words, it doesn't just automatically grant you relationship with God. But if you will say this with your mouth and believe it in your heart, then you can be born again. Just say, Father, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that Jesus died and forgave my sin. And I receive that forgiveness right now. Jesus, I make you my Lord. I believe that you are alive and that you now live in me. I am saved. I am forgiven right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you said that and meant that from your heart, you did what Romans 10:9 said to do. And I believe you just experienced God. Now you need to get the revelation of what's happened. I encourage you to call in. We have people standing by who will give you the materials that we're offering, but also they'll pray with you. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue this teaching on The War Is Over.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled The War Is Over is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. If you prefer, the War Is Over series is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. A Spanish version is also available. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more when you contact the ministry. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled Seeing It Backwards, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 6th through the 8th and at Living Word Bible Church in Mesa, Arizona on Sunday, January 9th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Kairos Bible College Men's Advance January 20th through the 22nd, in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 10th through the 12th, and in Colorado Springs for Kairos Bible College Campus Days March 9th through the 11th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite all of the men to come join me on January the 20th through the 22nd right here at our facility in Colorado Springs for our 2011 Men's Advance. It starts on Thursday evening, January the 20th. It goes through Saturday morning. And it's just a great time for guys to get together to sit under the Word. And I promise you it'll make an impact on your life. So make plans to join me right here in Colorado Springs, January the 20th through the 22nd for our 2011 Men's Advance.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.